Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And one of the things that I love about this show is often we disagree. Congressman Steve Scalise joins us live on WWL. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you.
Congressman, I had to, at the beginning, talk about how you were late calling, and I can't believe your priority, that you think voting was more important than staying on time to call me. I mean, what kind of priorities do you have?
Can you believe it? We're taking up the National Defense Authorization Act. This is the bill that funds our military.
Like, that's important.
I apologize that I prioritized that over you, but... We every now and then you gotta flip a coin.
the other thing that I thought was maybe you're still talking to Eric Paulson.
it was hard getting the guy out of there, but no, Eric is great. He's been wanting to come up for a long time, so I'm glad we were able to make it work out. Invite you up sometime.
Well, see, I was kind of hurt. I'm thinking, okay, wait, you invite Eric Paulson to come up there to your office to do an interview? I would have done that, but no, you just call me when you get a chance because you're busy voting.
You got to get WWL to fly you up to D.C. and we'll show you the best office in the Capitol.
I'll fly up there. I'll get it. Okay, we'll talk about that at another time. Very quickly, though, you have sent out a press release from your office about the committee passage of the Water Resources Development Act. I know this sounds like a lot of legal political jargon, but this does deal with flooding. So how does this help New Orleans?
Well, this is the bill that really deals with the process for how the Corps of Engineers works, for all of the different water projects around the country. And, of course, as you mentioned, I mean, we manage water. We try to keep water out of our communities. And the word of bill, as it's referred to, is the bill that really deals with the policy. And so there's some good reforms in this bill as it's come out of committee. I've worked closely with Garrett Graves, who's actually one of the lead authors of the bill on the Transportation Committee. And they're doing some reforms to the Corps of Engineers. One thing that's in this bill that I've really been a strong advocate for a long time is, you know, decades ago, the Corps of Engineers was part of the United States Army. It's the Army Corps of Engineers. The question I've asked for a while is, why is the Corps of Engineers still a branch of the United States Army, the Department of Defense? It doesn't serve the same purpose it served during World War II. They went around the world building projects. Well, now it's more a community-based organization in each community in our country. We're people deal with the Corps of Engineers, and people have all kind of different problems with the Corps, and yet when you try to fix it, you have to go through the entire Department of Defense structure. So we're looking at, in this bill, we actually have a study to see whether or not it should even stay as part of the United States Army. And I think that would help a lot of the water projects we have back home in South Louisiana move a lot quicker if it's not part of that big monolithic Department of Defense structure.
Congressman, what is the biggest mess, the biggest problem right now in Congress that would be the first thing that should be corrected?
I think it's getting spending under control. And especially if you look at some of our biggest programs that are important to people all around the country, if you look at the Medicare program and the Social Security program, they are programs that are not entitlements. These are programs that people paid into their whole generations and careers, and they're going bankrupt. And along with those programs, they're helping bankrupt the whole country. We need to save those programs from bankruptcy and save them in a way where it doesn't have an impact on the people who are part of Medicare, who are in Social Security, who rely on those programs. We've got to make sure that they work for today's seniors and they work for younger kids. If you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s and you don't even think the programs are going to be around anymore, let's make them work not only for current seniors, but for people who are going to be looking a generation away to get on those programs. So getting spending under control, saving those programs like Medicare and Social Security, saving them from bankruptcy and doing it in a responsible way, I think that's something that we really need to confront.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Congressman Steve Scalise live from D.C. Congressman, when you talk about that kind of spending, getting spending under control, that kind of problem in Congress, that's the same problem we have with the Louisiana legislature. What do you say to those people who think that this is just something that is congruent with politics.
It's not. You know, if you look at a lot of states, they don't have budget problems. You know what I mean? Our budget problems in Louisiana have been cyclical for decades. I served on the Appropriations Committee and the Budget Committee when I was in the State House. We had some really good years where we had surpluses, and we had some really tough years where the economy was down and we had to cut things. But you just got to live within your means and make those decisions. In Washington, our problems are bigger. The dollar amounts are bigger. You know, you get into trillions of dollars, not billions of dollars, but they're the same kind of issues you got to deal with. How do you make government live within its means and make the programs deliver that were promises that were made to people?
Well, that's the intellectual answer. I guess the problem that a lot of people have is what's going to make you and the legislature, I mean, not you specifically, but what's going to make these political bodies actually do it? I mean, we understand what they should do, but what's going to make them do it?
Well, I do think having a balanced budget amendment is critical to forcing the issue. And in Baton Rouge, you're seeing that. I mean, the fact that they have a constitutional amendment in our state that requires the legislature to balance the budget at the end of each fiscal year is important because it says go set your priorities. You know, you're going to have an amount. Every family has an amount of money they have each year. Now, maybe you'd like to have a lot more money, but you only have so much, and then you got to figure out what are your priorities. And, you know, you pay your house note, you pay your car note, you got to eat. You pay your doctor's bills, and at some point, hopefully you have some money left over to go to the movies and go to the restaurants, but you have to live within your means. Government ought to have that same approach, and a balanced budget amendment does that. We actually had a vote a few weeks ago on a constitutional amendment to our United States Constitution to require a balanced federal budget. It didn't pass. I'm sorry it didn't pass. I voted for it, but at least now there's a record vote. You can actually go and see which members of Congress believe in that kind of disciplined approach or not, and, you know, let's live within our means.
Sounds good to me because I have to do it. I don't like to do it, but I have to do it. So we want the government to do it as well. Congressman, the midterm elections are coming up, and there's been a lot of talk about the impact that the Trump administration and Republicans on Capitol Hill have had on the image of the Republican Party. Progressive women really dominated in Democratic primaries last night in Kentucky and Texas, and Georgia now is close to having the first black female ever nominated to be a governor. From a major party in the state. What's your feeling about this progression of progressive women?
You know, this is where the media, I think, likes to focus on what they want to talk about, but we've got a lot of conservative women that are running too, and they don't talk about that. And so, you know, we've already got a lot of great female members of Congress that serve on the Republican side and are doing a great job. I mean, Marsha Blackburn, who's a really close friend of mine, she's a strong conservative woman who won the Tennessee primary on the Republican side. So she's going to be running for the United States Senate as a Republican in Tennessee. And I hope she wins, but they don't talk about her. They'll talk about maybe the liberal in Georgia that probably won't even win the race in Georgia as the governor because she's too liberal. But, you know, let's talk about our conservative women that are out there, too.
But the fact remains that there has been some movement. I mean, Republicans have lost some important elections since Trump became president.
Well, but, you know, we lost one special election, but we've won every other special election. And so that's where it kind of, you know, if there's 10 special elections and we win 9 of them and lose one,
well,
it's interesting that the only one they talk about is the Connor Lamb race in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. They don't talk about the fact that the most expensive race in the history of Congress happened just a few months ago in Georgia, where $30 million was spent by Democrats to try to elect a liberal, and we spent $20 million, which still was a lot of money, and we won that seat. We won the seat being outspent by a $30 million margin to $20 million margin, but they didn't report it because the Republican won.
So you don't think that there's any danger, there's any tide shift, there's any chance of a tide shift whatsoever against the Republican Party?
You've got to approach an election this November. We're approaching it as if Nancy Pelosi is doing everything she can to be Speaker again, and she is. I mean, it's going to be an expensive election cycle, and we know we've got some really tough races. We've got a lot of seats that we hold that Hillary Clinton won for president, yet the Republican member of Congress won that House seat. They're spending a lot of money to try to flip those seats to Democrat so that Nancy Pelosi can be Speaker. We're not going to let that happen, but we know the races where we have to go battle, and we're well aware of what's coming at us. But if you look at turnout, you know, look at Kentucky, one of the states that they had a turnout election last night. You see intensity on the Democrat side, but you see even more intensity on the Republican side. And I think the economy is working in our favor in a big way. The economy is actually going well because the tax cuts we passed are working to get the economy moving again, and people are able to get jobs. We're actually trying to do a welfare reform bill this month, where we can actually get more people into the workforce by putting work requirements in place on welfare programs. So, you know, when you've got right now people are looking for workers, and yet there are millions more people sitting on the welfare rolls of people that are able to work. They just don't want to get up and go to work.
Well, I'm all for taxpayer money. I totally agree with that. I mean, there should be welfare reform, and I hope it's strict. And we need to save that money for those who really need it, because there are too many able-bodied people who don't need it and take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's one of the things we need to clean up to get control over spending is, you know, there ought to be a safety net for people that come on hard times. But if you're able to work and their company's looking for workers, taxpayers shouldn't be paying their hard-earned money so that somebody can be sitting at home instead of going out and getting a job and becoming a part of the middle class. I know I can do one more, and then I've got to run.
Yeah, very quickly. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. I know we've had a lot of prayers from people back home, and I appreciate every one of them. It's helped me. You know, I had my last surgery tied to kind of putting everything back together again about a month ago, and it went really well. And so it's good to have the surgeries over and just focus on recovery. I do physical therapy 3 days a week, so just trying to get better every day.
Well, you look great, Congressman. You and I don't agree on everything, but I always respect you, sir, and I'm glad you came on the show, and thanks for being with us.
Happy to be on. We want to get you up in D.C. sometime.
I'm coming up there. I'm coming up. You may regret it, but I'm coming up there.
I'd love to have you up. You take care, Scoot.
All right, Congressman Steve Scalise. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.